Parshas Kisavoi. Parshas Kisavoi. So in Kisavoi we have the klolos, right? A whole lot of very, very terrible klolos that we read out. Now the Gemara says in Megillah that we read the curses before Rosh Hashanah, and the reason for that is Tithle Shana v'Kilaloseo, right? Kilo, we want the old year with all of its klolos to be over. Teichel Shana v'Kilaloseo, right? And let the new year come with all of its blessings. So let's get over with all of the curses of the year, right? And the Maisa, our minhag is, this Tosis and the Rishon, they talk about it, our minhag is that we read the parasha, and then we always have a break of another parasha before Rosh Hashanah. The Maisa, the Kololos, we do exactly the same thing before Shavuos, because Shavuos is also brought down that it's Yom HaDin, and we always read the Kololos of Bechukosai, then we have the Midbar before Shavuos, and then Naso is usually the parasha of Shavuos. So, and the Inyan always is Tich Leshana V'Kilaloseo. So, this I've heard a number of times from Moshe Shapiro. He always says that when you read this Gemara, the way we understand it is that we've got klolos that are written in the Torah, right? Now, we want to get past them. We want to get over with them. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is coming. You don't want to have Rosh Hashanah, and then you're going to start reading your first Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah is going to be klolos. That doesn't sound good. So, Ke'ilu, they're there. We've got to read them. We've got to deal with them. So, let's get past them before Rosh Hashanah. And you get that feeling because of the way our calendar's built. That's how they come out. But I have to say it in almost his words, because I've heard this from him a number of times. But he said that he says that the Gemara says b'marava, right? They used to read. There was a minhag of reading through the Torah every 3 years. It's not halacha that you have to finish the whole Torah in prayers of Torah every year. So the minhag, we have a minhag and it's broken up in a certain way, and we'll get to it in Reish Pei Beis, our Lachas of Kriyas HaTorah, Mitzvah Shem soon. But B'marav, they used to read through the whole Torah once every 3 years. So at the end of the first year, like the whole first year was Bereishis and probably half of Shema, something like that. That was it. They weren't near any of the Klalas. Even over there was Seder HaLacha, that they take out a special Sefer Torah, like we do for Parashat Zohar and Parah and everything else. You take out a special Sefer Torah and you make a Kriya. So they would have a Kriya of the Kalalas, right? So this week in Ma'arava, when they read through every 3 years, they take out a second Sefer Torah, they take out Parashat Kisava, and they read. We just organize it that it falls, that if the parashas fall there, because anyway we go through every year. But Be'etzem, there's a din to read the klolos now. So it's not a din that they're klolos, we have to get past them, and so read them and get it over with before the end of the year. No, there's a din to read klolos. Take out the Sefer Torah and read the klolos before the end of the year. What's the inyan? To say that I'm saying over Rav Moshe would be an avla, because it took him an hour and a half and takes me 2 minutes. Obviously, I'm leaving something out. Okay, the miot from miot that I was koilet and remembered and putting it over in my words, the credit goes to him, but not exactly the way it's getting said out at all. It's basically pretty much along the line of what we said last week. There's a Ramchal which says in Derech Das Tvunis, basically that Hashem created the world, and Hashem, one of the purposes of the creation of the world is that Kvod Shamayim would be produced. And that's not up to us whether Kvod Shamayim is going to be produced. Hashem created the world, and Hashem said, this world is here to make Kvod Shamayim. Well, we have Bechira, but we don't have Bechira to stop the purpose of the world from coming about. So the world was created, the world will produce the Kvod Shamayim. The question for us is, where are we going to find ourselves in the Kvod Shamayim? The dogma is the following, that Kvod Shamayim, again, I'm oversimplifying just to make the cheshbon, but Kvod Shamayim is that Hashem says this is what's right, and it's shown at the end of the day that what Hashem said is true. Now we have the three ways that we can show that. Hashem says this is what's right to do, so we listen. Hagam is the Yetzirah which says go do something else. We listen to Hashem. That's Kvod Shamayim, right? That's the derech that tzaddikim make Kvod Shamayim. There's another derech. If a person doesn't listen, he goes to the other place and he sees how bad it is. And then he has to change. He has to pick himself up and change his way of doing things and do tshuva. So that's also Kvod Shamayim, right? And in a way, it's a bigger Kvod Shamayim because the person, when he's gone, right, we gave the dogma, Hashem says, live in Yerushalayim, don't live in Eilat, right, or wherever, right? So then a person the tzaddik goes to live in Yerushalayim, right? So he shows that he believes that the word of Hashem is the best and therefore don't go to the other place. The person who goes to Eilat, or wherever the not good place to live in, right, I hope no one's listening to this who lives in Eilat. But the person who goes to live somewhere where it's better not to live. So when he experiences, and then he sees it's no good, so he knows much better that there's nothing except the word of Hashem, because he's experienced for himself how rotten it is over there, and then he does a bigger avodah of coming back. And the third way is a person who never doesn't listen, doesn't do tshuva, and lands up in Gehenim. So when he lands up in Gehenim, so that's Kvod Shamayim. Why? Because Hashem said, do this. This is what's right to do. A person went into the opposite, and the longer he fries in Gehenim, so that frying is Kvod Shamayim. You see that what Hashem said to do is right. If you do keneged, you lose out. The more a person loses out for doing neged Hashem, that's Kvod Shamayim. So Hashem wants, the world will produce Kvod Shamayim whatever happens. There's three drachms. There's derech of the tzaddik, there's derech of the baal tshuva, and there's a derech of the person, the rasha. The rasha will also give Kvod Shamayim, just he'll give it against his will. And the truth is, the more of a person's will, free will that goes in, the more covered it is, and mimela, the easier the job. The tzaddik has the easiest ride of the lot because it's all from his free will. The baal tshuva, he went and did something wrong and then he saw that it's bad. The free will is, there's less free will, he does a bigger avoider. The rasha does the biggest avoider, right? I'm saying what he goes through in Gehenim is much, much worse than anything over here because there wasn't the free will. So therefore, to produce the kavod, it takes more frying to produce the same kavod. So that's the Ramchal. Mimela, we lemaisa. What happened is Hashem said, Hashem created the world for Kvod Shamayim, and we got the job of producing Kvod Shamayim in this world. So all of the Kvod Shamayim that there's going to be comes through the Jews, right? And we're going to produce it one way or another, right? We should be zeichel like tzaddikim. People who made mistakes should be zeichel like balei tshuva. And there's also the third option. What we do before Rosh Hashanah is we say to Hashem, Be'etzem, right, so when we get onto the stage, how would you like to produce your Kvod Shamayim? I'll hand the mic around to everyone over here. How would you like to? I think we're going to have unanimous votes that Tzadikim is the best way, right? If Tzadikim, so here's Yomim Noroim, here's Elul Yomim Noroim, we're going to do Tshuva, and we're going to do as Balei Tshuva will produce Kvod Shamayim. Right? Before we get to Rosh Hashanah, to the Yom HaDin, we say, in as much as we weren't tzaddikim, in as much as we didn't do tshuva, so we suffered. Right? HaKadosh Baruch, I want to bring that suffering back to you as part of the Kvod Shamayim. And that's the Kriya of the Kalalas. The Kriya of the Kalalas is saying, here's way number three. Right? In as much, we don't look for producing Kvod Shamayim this way. Right? No one should say, like, l'shem mitzvahs, right? Kiddush Hashem, right? And then go break Shabbos and basically take him in a circle and he says, wow, I made a Kiddush Hashem. Right? That's not the way we do our avodah. But when we get to the end of the year, in as much as we already fell and we didn't do tshuva and we suffered for it, we take all our suffering and we bring it back to Hashem and we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of this suffering we're giving to you. In other words, we're in here to be Mekadesh your name however it happens. We'll try to be tzaddikim, whatever we messed up, we'll try to be Balei Tshuva. And whatever we didn't manage on that, so we're happy that our suffering is also Kvod Shamayim. And in that, we bring all of the suffering of the year and turn it into Kvod Shamayim, right? And that's part of the way Reb Moshe says it. It says, Eli Divrei HaBris. You say, we're Mekayim the Bris. We take all of our suffering and we bring it into a Kiyum of the Bris, that this also is part of our job of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. So I'm saying it's a very deep kavana in what the kavana is when we have the kriya of the klalos. Lots of people have trouble with the klalos. Ends up with Eli Divrei HaBris, right? This is the bris, this is the covenant we made with Hashem. You have a covenant which has in it, I mean, Chas V'Shalom, all of the things over here, people dying and v'chulu v'chulu, all of the terrible things that are written over here. You know, who wants a bris like that? What's the, how do you relate to such a thing? So there's two mashalim which I heard said out about it. Number one is the mashal, the one mashal is basically to a ksuva, right? So when a person gets married, they have a ksuva, they have a kriyas ksuva, and it's all very nice and right, kriyas ksuva under the chuppah is very nice. What is written in the ksuva? What's written in the ksuva is that if there's going to be a divorce, so this is how much you have to pay, right? This is what you've got to do, and if you don't do, so that you can get divorced, and if you get divorced, this is how much you have to pay. So what's so special about a ksuva? You know, people have a ksuva up on their wall, right? So on the other hand, we know it says ish ve'isha zochu shchina b'neim. So everyone brings down ish ve'isha be'etzim and says v'im lo yeisha chalta. So ish ve'isha is without the shchina. Take ish, this everyone knows, right? Ish has the aleph yud shin, has eish with a yud. Isha is eish with a hay. Zochu shchina b'neim. You've got a yud and a hay. Lo yizochu, take the yud and the hay out, and there's just eish left. Right, says the Vilna Gaon, that's a half a name. Right, we know Pilegesh, right, is a isha below ksuva. Right, what's Pilegesh? Says the Vilna Gaon, plag shame, half of a name. Why? Because you've got an isha and an isha, so you've got a yud and a hay, and that's it. Ksuva is ksav vav hay. Right, the ksav with the vav and the hay, which finishes off the whole shame Hashem. And that's why Pilegesh is where isha is kiddushin below ksuva is a Pilegesh. So the Vilna Gaon is plag shame, half of the name. And the ksuva is what finishes off, it gives the kedusha to the marriage. And the beer is pashut, is that the etzim relationship isn't built on a ksuva. A person who has the ksuva hanging on the wall and everything he does because he keeps checking if it's worth it, right? How much it will cost. He doesn't have that amount of money, so maybe he carries on being a good husband. That's not the way that the relationship is supposed to be built. But on the other hand, a relationship which doesn't have a ksuva, then it's just arai. That's what's called znus, is that a person's, you know, it can be here today. If you just change your mind, there's no relationship anymore. So then there's no kedusha in that. The kedusha is for a relationship which has kvius. And what the thing that gives kvius, the thing that makes it that there's, that this is the relationship and it's not, it doesn't go away but for nothing, is the ksuva. Right? So mimeina, the ksuva, the way you have a relationship is not based on what will happen if you break the relationship. The relationship is there for all, everything positive. But a relationship has to be something that's kavur, and that you can't just walk out any time. Someone who can, anything that you can just walk out of any time, so it's lacking in the kedusha. Right? That's the dugma over here. To sweeten it a little bit, I heard from Rav Diskin, he's in Yerushalayim, so there they've had traffic trouble for the last 10 years for building the Rakevet HaKala, right? So he said, imagine the chevra that's building there. So you write a contract, so the area of Yerushalayim, wherever it is, hires them and pays them, I don't know what, right, hundreds of millions of shkolim to build the whole rail system and the roadworks and the everything, right? It's an unbelievable project. So every contract has in it a clause about what happens in terms of breach of contract. What happens if they stop working? What happens if they go 6 months over time? You need a clause which says, right. Says, imagine you had a contract like that, and they had there, if they don't finish, right, estimated date, the date of finishing is X, and if they don't finish this, so for every day they go over, they have to pay 2 shekels. It's ridiculous. So depending on the size of the project, so, you know, sort of in proportion to the size of the project, you have the clause of breach of contract has to be in proportion to that. Mimeli says, when we have a deal with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're producing Kvod Shemayim, the whole world is on our shoulders, right? The breach of contract clause in the Torah says, first of all, if you don't have such a thing, so what have you done? You've taken someone, you give them a job, and you can either do it or you don't do it. He said, that's not a contract. The whole contract is built on that clause of what happens for breach of contract. Otherwise, the chuzeh means nothing. And depending on the size of the importance of the job, so we made it, the breach of contract clause gets bigger and bigger. So this is our clause in the Torah of breach of contract. This is, and this gives the kvius to the Torah to tell you that, you know, it's, We're here, we're doing such an important job. If you don't do it, this is the clause. This clause, again, the tzura of having a relationship is not to have this clause on the wall. Every day come home, read it. Oh, I suppose I better go to shul because otherwise. That's not the tzura, right? The person wants to know the importance of the job. So this is how bad, this is the knas that would be ra'ui for a person who steps out of doing his job over here. Okay, mamish bekitzur, because as I said, last week we didn't get through a lot, and I had a deadline to run out. Okay, we'll talk, and people can make themselves free to go and make kiddush whenever they feel they need to. Says in the parasha, Es Hashem he'emarto hayoyim, right in the beginning of the parasha, top of your zayin I wrote down, let's find it. Perikov, pasuk yud zayin. Es Hashem he'emarto hayoyim. Right, you were ma'amir Hashem, he'amata yom. Right, Rashi says he'amata mirka. We don't have anywhere else, so we don't exactly know how to translate it. The Ibn Ezra, I think, says that he'amata is meloshen emir. We know that Arabs have their emir as their king. He'amata, you put him on the throne, you enthroned him, you made him very special. And Hashem, and it carries on. The next pasuk, Hashem he emircha hayoyim, and Hashem was ma'amir you. Right, ma'amir is meloshen making into a king, make very special. Right, li yosloi la'am skula kashay diberloch v'lishmo kol mitzvoyisav v'letitcha elyon and kolagoyim. Right, that's the vote of he emircha hayoyim. Says the Medrash, the Or Zeruah in Simon Mem Beis, Hilchos Erev Shabbos, brings down from the Medrash, Hashem he'emircha hayoyim, Hashem made you into kings today. I don't know how you translate he'emircha exactly. What's hayoyim? Shabbos. Right? Brought down in the Tur, in Simon Reish Pei Aleph. Right? But Hashem he'emircha hayoyim, that's Shabbos. And he said that today on Shabbos, so the Medrash then carries on to say that on Shabbos, Bnei Yisrael are considered bigger than the Malachim, and because of that, right from here comes the halacha of saying Lokela Sheshavas in Birkas Kriyashma before the Kedusha of Kodesh Kodesh Kodesh. Right, so the Kedusha that we say normally in Birkas Kriyashma is called the Kedusha of the Malachim, and it says that the Or Zeruah, Hashem he'emircha hayoyim, on Shabbos we are more chashuv than Malachim. Because we're more chashuv than Malachim, Hashem made our Kedusha come before the Malachim, and therefore we say Lakela Sheshavas before the Kedusha of the Malachim in the Birkas Kriyat Shema, right? And the Ozer himself says that if you don't say it, it's Ma'akev, and you have to go back and say it again, right? So, and this all comes from Hashem Emircha Yom. So just the one way of explaining it, Mamash Bekitzur, the Nefesh HaChaim brings down, there's a machloikas, who's greater, a Jew or a Malach? Right? So the Nefesh HaChaim brings down from the Kadmoinim, there are those who say this way, those who say that way, right? What are the tzadim in the machlokas? Any takers? What? Sorry? Oh, very good. So the Jew is bigger in the fact, let's start with the other side of it, is that, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it's a davar pashut, that a malach is bigger in terms of what he is. Right, a person's made out of dust is very, very, very limited in terms of what a malach can do. So it's a davar pashut in terms of what you are, a malach is much bigger. In terms of what you can do, a Jew is bigger. A malach doesn't have bechira, a malach can't move, a malach can't affect anything even, right? Not only can't he grow, but he can't affect the world. Whereas a Jew, whatever he does, affects the world. And we find that when the Jews go up, so mimele the malachim go up in levels. When the Jews do various chas v'sham, so the malachim also come down. The whole world depends on our bechira. So we're the own. That's the pasuk from the Satchi Lachom Mahalchim Bein Oyim Demazer. A Jew is called a mahalach. He goes up or down, and a malach is an oymed. He stays in one place. So mitzad, what a person is, a malach is bigger, because of a malach consists of plain ruchnias. A person is ruchnias together with gashmias, but because of that, so he has the choice of being fine. The ma'aser, the kedusha of the malachim, comes before our kedusha every day. right? Comes Shabbos, and on Shabbos we know that on Shabbos there's no inyan of precious, and on Shabbos we have a mitzvah of oinig Shabbos. On Shabbos the physical becomes something holy. Throughout the week, the less a person eats, the more a person limits his physical hanos, the better, because a person consists of body and soul. The more some people are 99.9% body and they've got a little bit of soul. Some people are mostly a mallet, because they have a part that's also physical, right? Depending every person where they're holding, right? But a person he has a neshama, but he has a guf also, whereas a malach is only neshama. On Shabbos, the guf stops being a chisara, right? Because when we sit on Shabbos and we eat our cholent, we get schar. When we sit on Shabbos and we enjoy ourselves, we have a good shlof, we get schar. Because the guf enjoying is also, right? The physical stops being a minus on Shabbos and turns into a plus. As soon as Shabbos comes in, then it's possible that the Jew is bigger. Right? Well, why not? Right? Mitam Bechira is bigger. Mitam what he is no smaller. Malach is kulei ruchni, and he's also kulei ruchni. Mimele says the pasuk, Vashem himircha hayoim says the Ozaruah is dafkan Shabbos, then there's no question that a Jew is bigger than the Malach, and Akhtusha comes before the Kedusha of the Malachim. Says, okay. So we have in this week's parasha the pasuk of Arami Oved Avi, right, which we say in the Haggadah. Let's say you lamed my bikesh love and Arami lasses for Yaakov plus minus. She parely bikesh elavaskarim v'lovin bikesh lakaris akol. Paro only wanted to kill the boys, and Lavan wanted to kill everyone. Shenemar Arami Oved Avi. What does it mean? Why do we have to start with say you lamed? Right? What's say you lamed? Go out and see. Where we? So the pshat is that the, I think B'Shem Agra, that if you read the parasha of Yaakov and Lavan, so we see that Lavan's a crook. We see he's a very devious person, and he's always stealing and cheating, but we don't see anywhere that he was trying to kill. Right? And if you really want to know what's going on with Lavan, so you have to go all the way to Parashas Ki Sovet, Seyo Lamad. Don't just read the parasha over there. Don't take things on their face value. Go see what the Torah's Megalia is really going on with Lavan. Seyo Lamad. Go all the way to Parashas Ki Sovet and see how the Torah describes Lavan. Arami Oyviravi, right? Lavan, who was Arami, tried to kill Yaakov. And his plan was to wipe out the Jewish people completely. And they bring down that the goyim throughout the generations, on the surface it seems to be issues of, you know, whose land it is, a little bit, you know, sort of small issues. Example, that if you take care of the issues, you take care of the problem. And be'etzim, what's really going on underneath is that they're trying to wipe out the Jewish people completely. On the surface there's reasons and there's tainas, you know, why to start the war. But really what they want is the war to kill the Jewish people. There's a famous story with Rav Itzalim Evelajan, was once asked, we say in Hallel, Hallelu is Hashem kol goyim shabaku kol ha'umim, ki gavar aleinu chastoi. Right, the goyim should praise Hashem because Hashem has been so good to the Jews. So he was once asked by one of the ministers in Russia, right, what do you mean, why must the goyim praise Hashem because Hashem is good to the Jews? What we have to say, thank you for the chesed Hashem does to you. So says Rav Itzler answered him. He said, we only know how bad things are when the pogrom actually starts, when the war actually starts, whatever. He says, you guys sit and plan 10 times more than that to do to the Jews. Right? Just 9/10 of it, or maybe 999 parts out of 1,000, never even starts. And Hashem saves us before it even started. He said the only people who know how much chesed Hashem has really done with us are the goyim, because they know all their plans that they had, that we never got off the ground, that we never had to even daven and get saved for. The male halodes Hashem called goyim ki gavra aleinu chasto. Only the goyim who planned everything know how much didn't work and how much Hashem saved us from them. That's why. Seder, I spent a long time looking for Orach Chaim on the wrong pasuk, so I didn't find it.
cross before benching them.
Yeah?
Yigdal Hashem. And then I'm going to say first. Yigdal Hashem. Az Yomar Vagari. Yigdal Hashem. Asos.
Manu. Yeah.
Az Yomar. They'll say, and then I forgot it by heart. So they'll say first. The next sentence is also.
Very nice.
The same thing as we just said.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, here we are. Says in, so yeah, I just thought the Aruch Chaim was in a different passage. Excuse the. Says the Aruch Chaim, right at the end of the parasha of Bikurim. So it says that we bring Bikurim to the end just before Shaini. It says v'samachta b'chol atoiv. A person should, when you finish bringing those Bikurim, is the Indian of Hakaras HaTov. And then it says, V'samachta b'kol HaTov, Asher Nosan Nacho Hashem Elokecha Elohei Yisrael. You should be happy with all the good that Hashem has given you. Atava, Levi V'ager Asher B'kir Be'echa. Right, when you're enjoying, so we invite other people to enjoy with us. Right, the pasta says it's going on Bikurim, that what happens is a person works in his field the whole year, right, grows the whole crop, the Bikurim we bring to Hashem and we say thank you, and then v'samachta b'chol atoiv, then go home and enjoy the crop that Hashem gave you, v'samachta b'chol atoiv. Says the Aruch Chaim, it doesn't say what, b'chol atoiv? It says b'chol atoiv is a toiv that's koilel all of the toivus in the world. Right, and what's that? That's the Torah. Right, so because it says an obvious main toiv ela Torah. Right, says Aruch Chaim over here. The lashon is amazing. Shim hoyu bnei adam margishim. If people could feel the mesikus varebus toiv Torah, with the sweetness and the pleasantness, how good the Torah is, hoyu mistagim, they'd go crazy, umislatim, and they'd be. This light, so it's a lot of enthusiasm and getting excited. Acharia, but are you mistagim is lightim acharia? They go crazy looking for Torah. But are you kosher by name? Are you oilam kesef azav lemuuma? Right, and he said the whole world of money of silver and gold wouldn't count for anything. He said the Torah is so good, it's got so much all of the good in it. They've said to people, the problem is that we can't feel, right? We've got different layers in front of us that stop us from feeling how good the Torah is. And Mimele said if a person could feel how good the Torah is, he said they should go crazy for it. And if we've seen by the Gedolim, people think that a person can get up at 2 in the morning his whole life. It's impossible. After 3 days you get depressed and you have a headache. So Pashut, they worked on themselves till they got to a level where they can feel a little bit more the tov of the Torah. And when you can, so then it's Mimele. It's, you know, when a person's going away on a trip the first time and he's excited, he gets up at 2 in the morning, he can't sleep anymore. And that's Pashut the way that it is with the Torah, is that as a person takes away more of the levels of gashmis that we have, or whatever we have separating ourselves from the Torah, a person can feel more the tov of the Torah. That's where the smarta comes from. But no one can force themselves to do something they don't want all the time. But the more a person works at himself, so the more a person can feel the tov of the Torah, it gets better and better. Heard from Rav Diskin, he said from the Chazon Ish, he said it's easier to learn 18 hours a day than to learn 8 hours a day. Right? He said, why? He said, because a person who learns 8 hours a day, so the pshat is, has got one foot here and one foot there. So you're 50% Gashmi and 50% Ruchni. So the whole time that you're sitting and learning is like, you know, 50% of what you are is not happy while you're learning, because, you know, it wants to be eating hamburgers. Right? And you're always torn. He says, when you learn 18 hours a day, you've got both feet in the same place. It's easy. So it's easier to learn 18 hours a day than 8 hours a day. He said, Mishmei Chazon Ish. Sorry, and then the other thing is when we daven for the Torah, right? The Nefesh HaChaim also brings down when a person davens 4, Siyata Dishmayan, learning Torah, what do we say? Right, we say Gal Einai V'Abitzu Niflois Metorah Sefer. But Emes, the Torah, says the Niflois and the, you know, the beautiful, amazing Pshatim, and how everything just works perfectly, and person knows what it's like when suddenly you've been working on a sugya for days and days, and suddenly everything works and everyone makes sense, and you can see the beauty of the Torah a little bit. He said, Be'etzim, he said that it's all poshut and sitting there, and it's open, it's ready to be read. The problem is that we have things covering our eyes that we can't see. And that's why when we daven, we don't say, you don't need a genius to see a beautiful pshat in the Torah. So the beautiful pshatim and the genius of the Torah is right there. You need gal eina. Uncover my eyes is all we daven for. And if your eyes are open, then you can see what's written in the Torah. Nebuchadnezzar actually says, he said, that's why sometimes a person can work for hours and hours and hours in a sugya. Suddenly he gets the answer. Everything's so posh. He can't sit down the next day, tries to explain. He says, just, that's what's written. Like, you don't know what took you 4 hours the previous day trying to get to the bottom of it. It's so posh. Now that you try to write up the shtickle Torah, there's nothing even to write. You can see that's posh pshat. He said, because the avoid of learning Torah is the avoid of gal enai. What you were doing is you were working on yourself. Now that you've got there, now that you see the pshat, now it's posh. It's written. It really is. It's posh written there. There's no chiddush. We're way over time. I'm going to carry on, and anyone who wants to, but this is the sof, there's no hakpadas. Anyone who wants to be here can be here. Anyone who doesn't want to be here can go make kiddush with pleasure. Early Shabbos is soon, but I'm talking to myself now. Anyone who wants to carry on can carry on, but be'etzem this is the end. So at the end of the Techecha there's a pasuk which says Tachas Hashem lo yavadito es Hashem elokecha b'simcha v'tuv leivo me'roiv kol plus minus, right? It sounds like all of the curses came because we didn't serve Hashem, or because people, right? And a person who would not serve Hashem, the simcha uva tuv leivav. Hiding from you right now. Okay. Tachlis, the pasuk says, "Be'erech tachas eshelo avaditos eshel melekecho b'simcha b'tuv leivav merev kol." Right? Because we didn't, the klalas come because people would not, people would not serve Hashem, b'simcha b'tuv leivav merev kol. And it's an interesting thing is that the Puranis doesn't come, and not because of the big Averas and not because of the small Averas, it comes because of a Chisaron of Simcha. So first of all, it's brought down that Darizal said about himself that he got to everything that he got to because he was Sameach. He said at Kotze Akron, he was absolutely happy with every mitzvah that he did. Right, so the mile of simcha is something unbelievable. We see over here that all of the punishment comes because of a lack of simcha. And Arizal said about himself that saying Milanu Gadol Me Arizal, and he said that he got to everything that he got to because of his simcha b'mitzvahs. And it's brought down in the Sefer that Arizal had a minhag that he never, ever, ever bargained for a mitzvah. Right? So we went to buy a lulav, whatever the guy asked for, he gave. He never bargained for such a thing. Right? And heard from a distance, poshut, if the guy's trying to rip you off, trying to give you he asked $300 for 50 shekel less, so you don't have to give it. That's what we're not talking about being an idiot. But he said, Marshal the Ma'adav Adomi, he says, imagine a chosen, the Yom Kupasai, right? So he's going down to wherever, to Kinor David, to get married, right? For a while, that's Beit Shemesh Nikos. And he gets into the cab and he says, Moneh. And the guy says, listen, 30 shekels, that's it, right? So he says, 1 second, like, I go there all the time. I know, if you put the money on, it comes out 29, right? The taxi driver says, 30, like, stop being in Ludnik, 30 and that's it. The guy says, well, it doesn't come to 30. Put on a money. The taxi driver says, no, 30. Money, you're supposed to put on a money. You know, I'm allowed to ask for money. He gets out the cab, right? So he said, whose right over this? It's over Pashat, the guy's right. The cab driver doesn't have a right to demand whatever price he wants, and you put on the money, you see what it comes out to. He said, Nebuch for the Kalu has to sit there and wait while the Chosin, you know, gets out the cab, because he's not happy with the cab driver, because of a question of 29 or 30 shekels. He said, just realize where you're holding, realize what you're dealing with. The Chosin and the Davis Cooper should have something a little bit more that's worrying him, rather than the shekel and who's right and who's wrong about whether it should be 29 shekels, should it be 30 shekels. You're going to your chuppah, just, yeah, loss up for the South Africans, right? Everyone else can get by the tone what that's supposed to mean. But forget about it and go, because there's bigger things going on in the world than the shekel this way or that way. And a person would have that kind of attitude towards the mitzvahs, realize how big they are, so you can't deal with small things when you come into mitzvahs. On the subject of simcha, so they say, there's a cute word they say. Say there's a big maila in a sudas mitzvah, right? What's the maila of a sudas mitzvah? So they say that whenever a person does a mitzvah, right? So a person does, what's a mitzvah? Comes early to shacharis, right? So the barachim bring to shemaim, ooh, look at this, beautiful mitzvah, guy came early to shacharis. What does the satan do? Yeah, but yesterday he came late to shacharis, right? A guy goes running to build his sukkah, right? And the Yetzer Hara says, yeah, come look what else he, where else he went running to do, right? So for every mitzvah, there's a kitruv. You went running to do a mitzvah, satan will bring, oh, you went running to do an avera once also, chas v'shalom. You did something good, the same thing you did not so good, right? There's always a counterbalance, right? So they say that that's the mile of the Suda's mitzvah. So the person does a mitzvah, he finishes himself, he makes a party about it. So there the satan's got nothing to talk about. So what? You ever did an avera and you said, wow, what a good avera, I'm going to make a party for this avera, right? He said, no Jew has ever done such a thing. So mimele, when a person does a sudas mitzvah, he said it's a darga of simcha, of showing that this mitzvah is more important to me than anything else. So when a person makes a sudas mitzvah, the satan has nothing to talk about. So and that's the mile of the sudas mitzvah, showing the chashivus, the simcha that we have with a mitzvah. There's a svarna, very interesting pasuk. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, so Bnei Israel on day 40, whatever, did the made the eagle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, come, lech raid, go down, kishiche samcha, right? Bnei Israel has made an eagle, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing was missing in his nevuah, standing on Har Sinai, Hashem tells him that the eagle was done. So he's not missing any information over here. He knows that the eagle was done. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, and he went, he saw. It says, when he saw the eagle and the mechoilos, so then he took the luchos and he smashed the luchos. What did he have to wait till he came back and saw? Hashem told him what happened. If Bnei Israel had been served of Odozor, they now aren't rowed to the luchos, right? So then smash the luchos there and there. Come down without the luchos and say, listen guys, no luchos anymore. He had to come down, he had to see. And when once he saw, so then he smashed the luchos. What was missing in... What was missing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him they did the egg. Why did he have to wait to smash the luchos? Says the Sfona, there's an extra word in the pasuk. It says, Vayaris ha'egel v'amecholos. He said, he saw the eagle and the mecholos. He said, the eagle wasn't the problem. He said, it was a problem, but that wasn't the reason he smashed the luchos. He said, what he saw was the mecholos. He saw that they made mecholos as musical instruments to play in front of the eagle. He said, if they'd done the eagle and done it without simcha, he said, there would have been a takana, they could have kept the luchos, they could have been okay. He said, the problem is, when they did the avera, they did it with simcha. And he said, when Vayar saw eagle, that he knew there was eagle. Hashem didn't tell him about the mecholos. When he saw there were mecholos also, the avera was done for simcha. If the avera was done for simcha, then they couldn't keep the luchos anymore, and they had to break the luchos. And Lamaisa, just again, beer how this works is there's a very interesting sugya about this in sukkah. I don't want to be marich, but what comes out from there is that it says that a chosin is potter from sitting in a sukkah during his sheva brachos because he's oisik b'mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? It comes out that the mitzvah that he's oisik in is simcha, right? he's busy having mitzvah simcha, and it's very funny because it's basically osik per mitzvah potter min a mitzvah comes out from some rishonim, but osik per mitzvah daraisa. So what where's their mitzvah simcha? And mamish bekitzur, I'm saying there's a whole sugya over here. But what comes out from all of these places is that the way simcha works is that the pu'ula of simcha is that it makes something a part of you, right? The other side of the stories we have in the beginning of Ksuvas, right? That in the case of oynes, it's considered someone else's action, right? The sugya is there of whatever, saying oynes, that it's considered that if someone's forced to do something. So then it's considered that it's not your action, it's the other person's action, because as far as you go, you didn't want to do that action. Someone else just forced you to do it, it's their action and not you and not yours. That's because you have no rotten. Simcha is, the more person's besimcha, the more you're doing it because you want to do it, the more it becomes your action. And the middah of simcha makes something part of you yourself. Mimela, when a person's getting married, the etzem mitzvah of nisuin is to take someone else and make them a part of yourself, right? For a man to take a woman and to make her into one unit. The way that happens is simcha, right? Again, this the ma'aseh kiddushin, the kesef kiddushin, whatever else. Or if it's done, the actual mitzvah is to make two things into the one. The way two things are made to one in terms of midas is simcha. So much so that the simcha is considered not a heksha mitzvah. When a person has a luluf, so if you take a luluf, it's a mitzvah. You do it for simcha, so there's a maila to the mitzvah. By nisuin, it's not like that. The simcha is considered the actual mitzvah of nisuin. And that's why simcha's chosun v'kale is such a big mitzvah, because I saw a deal from the Or Aaron is medayik. It says that kol ha'nesameh chosun v'kale kilu bono achas mechurbas Yerushalayim. He said, look, it doesn't work. It should say kol ha'nesameh chosun v'kale kilu somach bebinyan achas mechurbas Yerushalayim. But it's not that. You make them happy, you're building. Why? Because the happiness is the glue that sticks them together. The simcha is the pu'ula of simcha is putting two things together to make one. And mimela chosan simcha is also for mitzvah, potter and mitzvah. Anyway, I don't want to go on too long over here. Just to say, mamish, just the other side of it. So says the Chatam Sofer over here. Tachas Hashem lo yavadeto es Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tuv leva. Right, so again, the Puranas comes for not serving Hashem b'simcha. Says the Chatam Sofer. Tachas Hashem lo yavadeto es Hashem. It says sometimes a person's in a matzav of lo yavadeto es Hashem. Sometimes we don't manage, right? Every day you like coming to shul, and sometimes something happens. Yeah, the babysitter cancels, the other babysitter cancels, and v'chula v'chula v'chula, and that's it. You can't come. So b'tzeda, sometimes you have to miss. You can't come. What do you feel then? Says the Chatam Sofer, tachas Hashem lo yavadeto. Sometimes a person's in a matzav of lo yavadeto. If a person then is besimcha, oh. Baruch Hashem am Potter, right? Tachas Hashem lo yavadeto is besimcha, so that's what when the Puranas comes. And there's a mahalach of everyone has to always, you know, sort of weigh up what you can do, what you can't do. But when you can't do, there should be a little bit of pain that you can't do. And I'm saying the story that they tell about this, we're way over time, but you can't miss a good story. The story that they tell is there was a good Jew who was walking around all depressed, and he was mamish like depressed and down, whatever. So he's got his friend the guy comes to him and says, no, what's wrong with you? No, you can't help me. He says, what's wrong? He says he really wants, they opened a new hamburger place over there, right? It's got, you know, bacon and eggs for breakfast. It looks so good, he really wants some. So the guy says, I go have. I can't. Why can't I? Because I'm Jewish, I keep my lock. And he's all depressed. So the guy says, well, is there anything I can do to help? So he says, yeah, I've got an idea. He says, if you took a gun and you pointed the gun at me and said, you eat, otherwise I'll kill you, so then I can eat. So the guy says, with pleasure. He goes and he gets a gun, picks up the gun, and he says, eat, otherwise I'll kill you. He says, thank you. He orders the biggest plate, right? And he's busy eating away and enjoying himself, and, you know, it's seconds and thirds. In the middle of this, the guy's getting bored, you know, holding this big gun up the whole time. And he's sitting in, you know, sort of his like getting bored, and the gun starts falling a bit, and the Jew's like getting a bit nervous. You're a Shemaim over here. He says, no, pick it up, like, you know, aim at me. I'm not finished yet, right? So So that's the loya vaditas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tov leivav, right? Sometimes you can't do everything we want to do, and hagam that you've got to accept things what they are. It doesn't help to be depressed when you can't do what you need to do. So we have to accept what Hashem wants us to do. Oh, but the simcha with a ptur is also not the right thing. This is the right loya vaditas doesn't have to be b'simcha v'tov leivav. Simcha v'tov leivav should be in the mitzvahs in the right way. There's again, overtime. We're overtime already. So says I just heard a very nice word from Shmeider of Shimshon Fol Hirsch. I didn't see it, but he said that we know that there's a. Everyone always says that in Ruchnius. Everyone always says this. Then in Gashmius, Ma'aseh Tzachovus Avavus. It says that in Gashmius, a person should look at people who are below him, right? So in Gashmius, hang out with people a little bit poorer than you. Don't hang out with people who are richer than you, and you're always like, you know, like you're the only Nebuch who isn't driving the Mercedes, and you're only in a Toyota. You feel terrible, and you're always trying to improve the Gashmius. Hang out with people who don't have cars, and then you feel like, wow, Hashem does so much for me. In Ruchnius, so do the opposite. Hang out with people who are bigger, and that way you get bigger Mosogim. But at the same time, so there's a big Indian in also appreciating every small thing that we do in Ruchnius. And you know the cup that's half empty and half full. A person who walks around seeing the half empty in Ruchnius, so they also get depressed. And there's a big inyan in appreciating and being besimcha with even whatever little thing we manage to do. So there's a big inyan of being besimcha. And I heard a merit kavod from Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch. He said that we have one day. He said we have times in the year which are miyuchad to appreciating what we don't manage. And it sounds in the year that are miyukud to appreciating what we have managed, right? So the time for appreciating what we have managed is sukkahs, right? We've just come through the whole year. You've done your tshuva, you've done everything right, and then you're besimcha with Hashem, right? That's the enjoying the shleimus that we have produced. And the time for appreciating that what we haven't managed is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we sit and we cry for everything that we didn't manage and everything that didn't work out. And he says Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, we find that sukkahs we need 8 days for. Tisha B'Av is one day, right? He said that's the balance. The balance is 8 measures of saying, wow, I got up for Shacharis, I got there, this is what I did, I davened this, I davened this, I davened this. 1 measure of saying, okay, I was a bit late and tomorrow I need to come earlier, and 1 measure of looking at what you're missing and so that you'll grow, not being complacent, and 8 measures of appreciating and being the simple with what we do manage. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.